This is Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. I meet with two members of the Town Hall. There are milestone episodes and returning shows aplenty in podcast news. And if you want a new Realm Maintenance t-shirt, I might have one with your name on it. This is Realm Maintenance number 111.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, specialists and assassins, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, aka Ro, and thanks as always for listening. Over the past couple months, there's been a few things I haven't managed to get done as quickly as I'd like. One of those is putting out all those full interviews from way back in episode 100. Well, by the time you hear this, I'll more than likely have fixed that, and you'll be able to find those on the extended interview page at realm-maintenance.com. The second thing that needs some work is the livestream guide. Now, when I looked at last weekend, I noticed that there were some inactive shows, some times that need adjusting, not to mention a few new shows to add. So I should have that updated by Wednesday night. Having an extra day off from work during the fall and winter should help me pay more attention to stuff like that, and thanks for bearing with me. This year's Realm Maintenance t-shirt is now on sale, and I'll give you the details about that before we're done here today. For now, right, Jones, let's get the show rolling with some Leroy Hearthstone talk. Damn it, Leroy. Here is the rolling restart. Well, hunters and rogues, enjoy the next few days while you can in Hearthstone, because the golden days are indeed coming to an end. There was an announcement made last Thursday by community manager Zariah that there are some changes planning to go into effect on September 22nd. Those changes just involve two cards, but that's still going to have a big impact on the metagame. In particular, the Starving Buzzard card is going to have its cost raised from 3 mana to 5 mana, and the Buzzard will now be a minion with 3 power and 2 health, as opposed to 2 power and 1 health. Leroy Jenkins, yes, good old Leroy, is going to have his cost raised from 4 mana to 5 mana, but the rest of the stuff on his card remains the same. Now, in the post that announced these changes, it was said about Starving Buzzard, and I quote, "The amount of cards Starving Buzzard allowed Hunter players to draw ultimately ended up being too excessive for its low cost. This change will allow the Hunter's opponent more time to react to both the Starving Buzzard and the cards drawn by its power." So, personally, I understand why they're making this change. I mean, who hasn't seen a turn 5 play, or even turn 4 with the coin, where you have Starving Buzzard followed by Unleash the Hounds when you have 3 creatures out? That's 5 mana for 4 creatures and 3 extra cards drawn. That's pretty insane that early in the game. It can really help turn a game around. So I understand the change. I just feel that the Buzzard being at 2 toughness for 5 mana feels a little vulnerable. There are just too many things that can deal 2 damage on the following turn. I really have to wonder how much value you're going to get after you play a Buzzard. Of course, you could play something right after playing the Buzzard, but to do that, you're going to need at least 6 mana. I kind of like to compare it to the Gadgetzan Auctioneer. Now, it was pointed out on Twitter that the Buzzard can get multiple cards from one card, while the Auctioneer can only get 1 card for every spell that's cast. But really, that's only going to apply with Unleash the Hounds or Savannah Lion, and of course, that's what every hunter is running in its deck, so I guess there's some validity there. I think Buzzard might still be in some casual hunter decks going forward, but you're definitely not going to see much of it in competitive hunter decks, if there even is a competitive hunter deck after this. I really don't know. As for good old Leroy Jenkins, I mean, let's face it, if you haven't played Miracle Rogue, it's probably been played against you, and you probably hate Leroy a lot. Nothing can be quite as frustrating as a Leroy Jenkins followed by a Shadow Step, followed by another Leroy Jenkins, and maybe a Cold Blood added on top of that, or any other number of possibilities where you can drop from 12 or higher life to nothing without really any warning that's going to happen. Now, was a change necessary? Yes, I think so, and I think making Leroy cost 5 mana is going to help toward that end. But you know, if I was designing a change, if I was on Team 5, I think I'd handle this a little bit differently. Now, what if you made the whelps better and kept the 4 mana cost? The only way you could really do that, though, would be to give the whelps taunt. That actually would be kind of in flavor with what Leroy Jenkins does, because the whole meme about Leroy Jenkins is he rushes in and runs into all those whelps. So the whelps having taunt kind of makes sense to me if you did it that way. If you did that, this would mean that the rogue would have to have answers for the whelps if Leroy is going to end up pushing through. And trying to do a Leroy Shadow Step combo is just going to end up giving the other player 4 things with taunt on them, even if they're 1-1. I don't know, I think Leroy at 5 mana is fine. It's not really something to complain about. I just think that they could have probably changed that card in a more creative way. The buzzer nerf, I feel, is still a little too strong. Leroy's going to be fine. At least he has chicken, right? Now, my final thought on this is, it's interesting that this change would go in now, prior to BlizzCon and the Hearthstone World Championships, considering that many players probably qualified for the championships, riding on the power of at least one of those 2 cards, especially Miracle Rogue decks. It'll definitely be interesting to see what the metagame on the tournament scene looks like in the weeks ahead leading to the World Championship. But before we look ahead to BlizzCon, let's look back at the past week of news for Blizzard Games as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Patch 6.0.3 is now available on the public test realm. If you've not had an opportunity to participate in the Warlords of Draenor beta, you can get a look at all the upcoming changes on the PTR, which include a number of user interface improvements that were described in detail on a blog article last Friday on the official World of Warcraft site. The 10-year anniversary celebration for World of Warcraft will begin in-game on Friday, November 21st, and will last until Tuesday, January 6, 2015, at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, allowing players plenty of time to reach level 100 after the launch of Warlords of Draenor this November. Both the new rated PvP season and the first raid of the tier will become available on December 2nd, with Raid Finder and Mythic difficulties for Heimal becoming available on December 9th. The World Championships for StarCraft II, Hearthstone, and World of Warcraft will actually begin a week before BlizzCon, and you'll be able to watch early rounds on Twitch.tv from October 31st through November 2nd. Speaking of BlizzCon, emails have been sent out to those who purchased tickets for the event, so be sure to check your email box for those barcodes. Diablo players seeking the craft a Hellfire Amulet will be pleased to know that RNG has been made less of a factor due to a recent hotfix which improved the drop rate of organ items off of Uber bosses scaling with difficulty. These items are now guaranteed to drop at Torment 6 difficulty. And finally, get your pirate hats and pony kegs ready. The Pirate's Day World event takes place on September 19th, and the 2-week celebration known as Brewfest begins on September 20th. And that's your news. I'll be back with the Podcast of the Week interview after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Blizzard seeks to appeal to a more cultured demographic. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. With World of Warcraft rapidly approaching its 10th anniversary, Blizzard has recognized that the game is increasingly populated by middle-aged players of both sexes as opposed to teen boys. In an effort to cater to this more sophisticated player base, Blizzard announced today the introduction of in-game radio in the upcoming expansion, similar to that found in games such as Fallout and Grand Theft Auto. The network will be known as Azerothian Public Radio, or APR. Several featured shows were also announced. All Swings Considered will be a news program about PvP battles. Putrid Air with Terry Really Gross is a late-night talk show from the Undercity. Those seeking to make money through gathering, crafting, and trading will want to tune into Auction Place, hosted by Gnomish banker Spry Fizdahl. Spar Talk will help you optimize your gear, aided by Clank and Clash, the Goblin Hack At It brothers. But what would public radio be without a pledge drive, and APR is no exception. Access to APR will be free, but with a pledge of 100,000 gold pieces, you can also get the ability to build player housing, which will be known as your Draenor home. And for a pledge of just 250,000 gold pieces, your house will come with a butler and medic who will queue with you for dungeons and LFRs to speed your queue times. It remains to be seen if this perk will get people to pledge to APR so they can have the Draenor home companion, Garrison Healer.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Although still in a technical alpha, many players are keeping an eye on Heroes of the Storm, Blizzard's developing entry to the MOBA genre of games. Just like Hearthstone before it, this free-to-play game already has a number of podcasts following its early development, including the Town Hall Heroes podcast. And this week, I'm happy to welcome Jake and Sham to talk all about it. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Jake, I mean, it's kind of interesting that we have a podcast talking about a game that's just in technical alpha, and I was hoping you could explain a little bit about what led to the creation of Town Hall Heroes and why you guys are so eager to talk about Heroes of the Storm already.
Well, like the four of us, we were all StarCraft nerds, and we all knew each other from StarCraft, and we went to BlizzCon last year mainly because we were StarCraft people and we really wanted to watch the WCS finals, and, you know, we kind of ran into Heroes of the Storm, which we just fell in love with immediately. Now, Black Mage, Sham2, and myself, we were all there. Sham, you were there, right?
Yeah, I was at BlizzCon.
it was a good weekend. But immediately, like, we were all just playing the game and tweeting about it and hyping and getting so involved in the game. And Zoya just sent me a text message like, we need to start a show for this. And Black Mage had literally probably an hour before that, him and I said, we're going to do a podcast for this. We're going to get super involved. This game's going to be great. We love it. It's just from like the first moment we played the game, we fell in love.
How many times did you play the game at BlizzCon? I'm curious, because I got in line 3 times for it.
Yeah, I don't even know the number. it's a high number. We like literally, I actually got to help set up BlizzCon. I worked with ESL and I helped set up their Hearthstone production. So I knew where everything in the venue was. I had been there for like 5 days already in the venue. So as soon as the doors opened, we just booked it to the Heroes section because I had seen like those screens they have up above the different characters like looping around. None of that information was known. We didn't know who was playable. We didn't know anything about the game yet. And I was like already getting super like hyped for it. So I'd say I probably played 7 times.
Yeah, I played about 8 times. We actually played. So I grabbed a couple of the Team Liquid guys and we ran through the line while everybody was doing the announcement about Heroes of the Storm. So we missed all of that announcement just to get 7 playthroughs of the game. We had a great time doing it. But then like we got done and we're like, all right, what do we need to know about this game?
Sham, every podcast usually has some sort of story behind its name. And I find the name Town Hall a little interesting. I was wondering where that came from, because a lot of the other Heroes of the Storm podcasts seem to have names that, you know, more directly relate to. You can tell right away this is a Heroes of the Storm podcast. So why Town Hall?
That's really interesting that you direct that question to me, because I was actually the one who came up with the name.
I'm psychic.
The reason that came about, you are psychic. The reason that came about was that we were actually in the very beginning stages of the alpha when we were hearing just like minute details. We heard that the actual main building that you have to destroy was called the palace. Mm. And we were like, well, why is it not called the town hall? The town hall was always like the big center figure in Warcraft games that, you know, the humans and the orcs had. And I believe it was only the humans that actually went by Town Hall.
Yeah.
But both in the competitive scene, for the most part that I know of, everybody called it like the Town Hall. Like they just referred to, you know. So we were upset that they didn't call it the Town Hall. So Zoya and I mockingly created the Town Hall Alliance, which was going to be, we were going to vote for people to change the name from Palace to Town Hall. And eventually when we started talking about the podcast, we were like, yo, let's go by Town Hall, because the Town Hall is a meeting of people who congregate together and talk about issues that are going on or news and et cetera. And then eventually we started going through a couple of iterations of the name. I believe we actually were Town Hall Alliance for the first episode. And then we were just Town Hall for a bit. But then when we were doing Google searches, we were noticing that Town Hall really wasn't, you know, it's a very common name. So it was not really too easy to segregate us from everybody else. So we went Town Hall Show for a bit, and now we've settled on Town Hall Heroes, which definitely fits together. Like, it kind of blends, it really works together in naming, and I think it really does us a lot of good. But yeah, it was originally just because Zoe and I were angry that it wasn't called the Town Hall that you destroyed at the end, even though for the most part it normally is a Griffin Avery that you destroy.
Right. But have you decided to give up your crusade? I mean, the game's only in technical alpha. Can you still try to, you know, maybe this coming BlizzCon, pull Dustin Browder to the side and say, hey, Town Hall.
It's possible that I might be giving up this crusade just because I have a couple of other crusades. My biggest crusade right now is I want Deckard Cain to be a younger version of himself in a Macho Man Randy Savage type way, because we've never seen Deckard Cain fight. So that's the biggest crusade that I've got right now, is that I want Deckard Cain to come out in a completely different form that nobody's ever seen.
That's very interesting you bring up Deckard Cain, because he's actually the character I'm pushing for most to be put into Heroes of the Storm, because Diablo has no support character so far. Mm-hmm. And I think Deckard Cain would make a great support character, have a heroic ability that's called Stay a While. He tells a story and stuns everyone, kind of like what ETC does.
In our first two episodes, maybe first three episodes or so, we were actually coming up with character designs for every hero that we'd love to see in the game. You know, just spitballing ideas, throwing a dart at the wall and seeing what sticks. We came up with, I don't know how many hero ideas, and Decker Kane was one of the biggest ones that we actually started to talk about. But I think it's just my humor that I would just love to see Decker Kane in a form that we've never seen before. And I think that's why I want to make that crusade my primary until they've actually come out with a Decker Kane and I'm disappointed.
There are about half a dozen Heroes of the Storm podcasts out there, and I was wondering if you could talk about how you feel Town Hall Heroes distinguishes itself from the rest of the pack.
Well, all of us have a very distinct background in competitive gaming. I worked with MLG, ESL, I've worked BlizzCon doing competitive stuff. You know, Sham has a history casting with StarCraft II. Soya, same deal, observing and casting StarCraft II, and Black Mage has been running tournaments for years. So we have a very just strong competitive approach where we really just focus on mainly the esports side of things, and we bring on a lot of like high-end players, guys that are on the competitive teams, onto our show because we're very active with talking to those guys. We're very active with being social with all the top level players. While we might not play with them super often, we're just incredibly involved with that competitive scene and that core audience. So we really just try to capture the meta, the high end, you know, like top level play, what's going on, what kind of strategies are popular. And a lot of other shows, I mean, they do, some guys talk about that kind of stuff, but a lot of the times they're talking about more, I don't know, just stuff like, you know, these are the new skins, these are the new heroes, the lore and the fun stuff.
I know which one is podcast awesome. Which does that. I'm on it.
Exactly. That stuff's great. And that's the great thing about having podcasts, because there's different approaches you can take and different shows can be very different from each other, even though it's the same game. So we did a lot of that early on. Like Champ said, we did all this character theory crafting where we'd like come up with all the abilities and we'd actually make a graphic that like displayed what the character's abilities would look like and research the old games. And we did that, but now that the competitive scene's developing, we're just kind of riding that wave and going with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things about Town Hall Heroes is that we're just, you know, we're a group of people who've been doing so many things together for so long, and now that we're kind of just, we just have the ability to sit around and just talk about Heroes of the Storm, especially on the competitive side, as Jake was focusing on. And that's quite right. I mean, when we do the deep dives, we like to talk about the competitive side and really kind of get the viewers involved in like this competitive scene. We want to really grow and foster that competitive scene and make it as great as we could possibly be. Now, a lot of people have been thinking that Heroes of the Storm is not going to be a competitive game in a lot of ways. And sure, there's going to be a massive casual side to it, but we also want to focus on the fact that there is going to be a competitive scene. We're going to build it and we're going to try and make it as great and grand and exposed as possible.
I feel the same was said to a degree about Hearthstone in its early days too, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not think that Hearthstone was going to have a strong esports presence, and just look where it ranks on Twitch now. Look on the weekends, just how much attention it receives as far as tournaments and such. I feel something similar is going to happen with Heroes of the Storm, though I would have to imagine it's kind of a challenge to talk about the game from that perspective when we don't currently have an observer mode in Heroes yet. We're not sure exactly when we're going to get one, and they're really, Blizzard, because it's a technical alpha, doesn't seem to strongly be pushing to have, like, you know, customized games, to have teams going up. So you can't really present a match where Team Liquid is going up against, you know, a Team Solo mid Heroes of the Storm team against each other. So I guess my question, and we can start with Sham first here, is do you expect any challenge at this point in the process in maintaining a regular weekly show with this kind of edge on the esports scene of things, considering we really don't have an idea when beta is going to come or observer mode or all of that?
Well, right now we do have the ECS, which is kind of the ESV Championship Series, which is the most competitive thing that's out there right now. And the way that a lot of teams are kind of making this work is that if both teams are at a similar MMR, which, you know, generally, since these guys are ex League of Legends, ex StarCraft II professionals, I mean, we're not talking about some run of the mill people. We're talking about professionals from previous games, subs from like Curse and et cetera, from like League of Legends teams. they're really good at the game right now. They're the top tier Team Symbiote, Team Snowflake, etc. What they do is they have similar MMR, which is the matchmaking ranking, and they can queue into each other as pre-made 5 versus pre-made 5. And how the MMR system is set up in Heroes allows them to queue into each other. And so they can set up a match. They can pretty much, you know, call all the shots, make the bans, the picks, etc. in a separate chat. Hmm. And then they can just queue up at the same time and they'll be able to engage. And that's how the ECS is right now.
So I wasn't even really aware of that.
Yeah, so that's why we're kind of making Town Hall like as prominent as we possibly can, because a lot of people really don't know about how this stuff is really working right now. And soon, once we get custom games, still, even then, there's still not that many venues for people to see into the competitive scene. And the ECS is actually one of the most entertaining things. We've actually had a couple of showings of it so far. And how we do that is we have two casters with replays, and they literally sit there and they say 3, 2, 1, go. And they both run the replay at the same time.
Nice.
When we get those custom games coming out, the competitive scene is going to absolutely explode. But the problem is, until we get those games in, the custom game system in, it's going to be a little bit more difficult the more people that actually come into the game, because more people pre-made queuing as 5 could possibly interrupt that queuing into each other system that we have going right now.
Right.
However, it doesn't seem like Blizzard's really shutting down anything that we're doing so far. I mean, we're already into the second day of the second week for the ECS. We've been getting pretty decent viewer numbers, and Blizzard definitely knows about it. Like, it's all over Reddit. We got 1,000 concurrent viewers on the first day. Yesterday night, we got about 300 to 500 viewers on average. So, I mean, obviously, if it's the top game on, you know, top channel on Twitch for Heroes, Blizzard knows about it. They haven't really exactly shut it down yet. They're not exactly promoting it either.
Right.
But I think right now the competitive scene is doing okay. We're dealing with what we have. And I think eventually, once we get those custom games, everything's going to be A-okay.
You guys just basically revealed something to me that I didn't even know existed.
It's not the only league either. Honestly, there's Versus Sphere over in Europe. It's a European only league, and there's a lot of other stuff in the works. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's just so many things. And here's the greatest thing that I think is kind of understated with Heroes of the Storm: the SE2 map editor is basically going to be available for people to make their own maps and be able to play them in the final version of Heroes of the Storm, is what's been told a couple of times.
See, I didn't know that.
So whether or not they're still going to be able to go with that is kind of up in the air. But right now, Heroes of the Storm is going to be able to be edited and have its own user-created maps. And that's what we see all in the StarCraft 2 community, was actually some of the maps that people were making. And actually, one of the people from the ESV team, I think, was one of the first maps accepted that was user-created in the competitive ladder for StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. And that was ESV Cloud Kingdom. And we saw that map actually exist for almost an entire year.
Right. Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about either. Player-created maps becoming part of the competitive scene, that would be pretty awesome. Well, before we wrap up here, each of you are involved in some YouTube content of your own outside of Town Hall Heroes. I wanted to give you a little time to talk about those things. Now, Jake, I know that just recently, a few weeks ago, you started up another Heroes of the Storm production called Clairvoyance. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. Clairvoyance is a little bit of a different take, I guess, where Town Hall is a roundtable discussion about the high-end competitive community. Clairvoyance is a little bit more focused on just kind of talking to players and personalities within the community about themselves and getting their personal opinion. So it's more of an interview series where we sit down with somebody for about 45 minutes and just talk about whatever is super relevant and them and their team and the competitive scene, whatever it is. It's not necessarily always competitive, but it's a big focus of ours. And we're going to aim to bring on Blizzard people eventually to both Town Hall and Clairvoyance in the future. So that's Clairvoyance. Obviously, Town Hall, that's our big production that we do. And I have another show that we call Duo Queue. It's me and Omega Black Mage, where we actually queue up for a game together and we do commentary while playing. It's interesting and it's fun. A lot of times we forget we're playing. We just start casting the game and we just kind of die. And it's really funny when it happens.
And then you get yelled at in chat.
Oh, yeah, of course. They're just like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm casting, you doing something.
You're not Abathur, moving your butt.
Exactly. But it's a lot of fun. And actually, we're working on 2 new projects right now, which we'll be announcing in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds cool. And Sham, I also know that you have a kind of a weekly series on your YouTube channel as well. Could you talk a bit about that?
Sure. So I run a series called Free Week, in which I typically lately I've been putting up a straw poll on Tuesdays as soon as the new hero rotation is announced. And the hero rotation is free to play heroes pretty much for that week. And the objective of it is to basically kind of showcase a game and kind of talk about general rules of thumb in terms of Heroes of the Storm. So I'll not only explain how to play that character or build that character in a certain way, but I'll also talk about certain things like, remember that if, you know, there's nobody in this lane, come down and soak and make sure you're getting XP. Or maybe you shouldn't be running into the Misty Shroud of the jungle if there's, you know, nobody else is on the map. So I've been running that. It's called Free Week. You can find it on my YouTube. I normally record it on Wednesdays and put it up Wednesday night into Thursday, but sometimes, you know, can show up on Thursday nights.
Awesome. And I mean, all of that just goes to show that there's already a wealth of Heroes of the Storm content being put up on YouTube, being streamed on Twitch, being put up as podcasts on iTunes and everything. And you guys are definitely a couple of the core people behind putting that stuff out there. And I'm very happy I got an opportunity to speak with you both this week. Jake, where, when, and how can people find the Town Hall Heroes podcast?
The VODs are actually on my YouTube, so you go to youtube.com/solidjakegg. The iTunes, you just search for Town Hall Heroes, and we actually have we're going to have a website soon, but we have a blog with just all the general info right there. It's just, it's townhallshow.wordpress.com.
All right, and you guys live stream your show, when can they find that?
It's 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. It's twitch.tv/ZoyaTV.
9 p.m. Zoya is spelled ZoiaTV.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, once again, Jake, Sham, thank you very much for being on Realm Maintenance this week. And we're going to head out with a couple minute clip from the most recent episode of Town Hall Heroes. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. I think
I
we're
don't
just
want to say though. I'm worried, but you guys know what month it is? What month is it?
It's September.
It's September. What happens in 2 months? 2 months.
Is something with stuff?
BlizzCon.
Yeah, BlizzCon.
Is that what they call blizzards in the South?
Yeah, yeah. Oh god, more random judgments. So yeah, we got 2 months. We have 2 months to develop some kind of competitive scene for a large tournament scale at BlizzCon.
I'm
worried. I'm a little concerned at this point.
That's exactly what I'm actually worried about too. Is that we have heard absolutely nothing about who Blizzard's even bringing out to BlizzCon. Or anything. I mean, like, what kind of tournament is this going to be? I mean, we haven't heard anything. I'm sure a number of teams have probably been reached out to in some unofficial, informal way. I can't imagine Blizzard to be, like, 2 months beforehand being, like, or like, 2 days beforehand, like, oh, yeah, remember that we got a Heroes tournament.
But we
gotta contact some people.
They haven't done their invites for their WoW tournament. Their WoW tournament also says details coming soon. So Hearthstone and StarCraft are both fleshed out. The qualifiers and everything are all underway. But World of Warcraft and Heroes are both. I mean, I'll check the website again. I checked it.
Yeah, but there's already a competitive scene for WoW.
It's,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. Still, that's the tournament. Developed. The tournament details aren't fine. Weren't there last night. Let me check it right now. Let's see.
This game's in
alpha. Coming soon. It doesn't matter. Like, it's still only 2 months prior, so it's not that insane. Like, they're well aware of the teams that exist. Same thing with World of Warcraft. They're well aware of what exists. I mean, World of Warcraft, they're probably just going to open up a tournament realm and run a tournament for qualifiers. Okay, but for Heroes, it's probably going to be, like, not going to be more than 8 teams.
Yeah.
Not going to be... I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's 2... full teams of just personalities. They could have, like, StarCraft, like, retirement squad of just, like, you know, like...
Hey, we already have that. It's called Snowflake.
Oh, man. Well, it's true, but they could easily make 2 teams out of that, and they could have one team that's, like, Day 9, Husky, Total Biscuit, and, you know, throw 2 more DJ Wii and 1 other caster. I don't know.
Yo, can we talk about Team Town Hall Heroes?
Yo, there's 4 of us. We can pull CSD if
there's
we got
5.
4
of us. We'll pull CSD if we got 5. We got this, guys. We're going to take on SMG. Beat them at their own game. We've got our own secret strats.
Yeah, Emerald Wind.
Emerald Wind. Emerald Wind and all the other things that we say that we want to actually work but never will.
Oh man. Oh. Good thinking on that portal, Rodney.
Got us to Shadrath City just in the nick of time.
Oh, I
I can't believe we almost died in that last bumper. But we're here now, so we might as well start recording. Hey, everybody, this is Juice.
And this is Rodney.
With the Hearthcore Podcast.
We're out here risking our lives to bring you the finest in Hearthstone entertainment.
As well as a Warcraft-themed Drink of the Week.
Ooh, giant floaty shiny thing in the middle of the city. I'm going to go poke it with a stick.
Now, maybe we don't go poke that... Oh. Anyway, I have to go catch up with him. But in the meantime, join us on iTunes, Stitcher, as well as HearthcorePodcast.com. Rodney?
Thanks to Jake and Shamtu for being on the show this week. The entire unedited interview can be heard on realm-maintenance.com/interviews right now. Let's move on to this week's Blizzard podcast news. So this week marks milestone episodes for a few different WoW podcasts, and let's get right to them. The Sheep Moon podcast has been a staple for the last couple of years in the podcasting community for being critical of the game today, and this week...
Boring! You want to hear about that WoW player? You want to hear about loot and packs and explosions? I'm Dee, and I'm here to ask you one question, and one question only. Explosions?!
Dee... What are you doing here on my show? I'm just trying to promote your 100th episode calmly.
That sentence had too many syllables. Apologize!
As I was saying, Sheep Moon is celebrating 100 episodes of Rants, Criticisms, and Guardian Posts today at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with his what is sure to be a great look back.
We here at RivalCastMedia.com sincerely believe that this is f***ing awesome! It's so awesome that we're going to be giving away a buttload of Steam games, gift cards, and TCG loot codes to celebrate. If you want in, you should jump into the live Shoutcast stream and chat room for what we're calling the Epic Episode of Epicness.
Yeah, but you shouldn't call it the...
Epic Episode of Epicness!
Listen to the Epic Episode of Epicness when it records live tonight. Pre-show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at RivalCastMedia.com. Syl, EJ, and Raven take a trip down memory lane as they discuss their favorite guests, episodes, and topics of the past 149 episodes on episode 150 of Girls Gone WoW. If you want to send your own congrats message, feel free to tweet the show at GGWShow. Find this milestone episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or GirlsGoneWoW.net. And last but certainly not least for milestone shows, the crew of the Sundering are taking a week off, so they'll be recording episode 200 a week from this coming Sunday. Celebrate 200 shows full of beer, bacon, and other fancy shenanigans on September 28th at twitch.tv/thesundering at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And hey, who knows? Maybe you'll win a lifetime supply of bacon from Seraphis. Okay, you probably won't, but you should still listen anyhow. If you've been a listener to the livestream recording of Let's WoW, you'll want to make sure to start showing up to twitch.tv/letswowpodcast a little bit earlier, as the show will be recording at 7 p.m. Eastern Time going forward. You can listen to previous episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or letswowpodcast.com. On the 85th World of Warcraft podcast episode of Bitter and Salty, Molson and Slancha scream, yell, punch, kick, and whine about the release date for the expansion, they designate Garrisons as Tillers 2.0, and cover all the details of all the Blizzard Q&A sessions for all the Garrison things, and much more, including a review of the roster spots for their upcoming Fantasy Warcraft of World of Warcraft Fantasy Draft. What is the FWOWOWFD? Find out more at BitterAndSalty.com, and don't forget to follow the show at BitterAndSalty on Twitter. For more from Molson, you can also find him on the most recent episode of The Training Dummies, where Molson lays down some gold-making knowledge and flips the tables on Hen and Rob, asking them some questions of his own. You can find episode 73 on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. Haster, DG, and Golvin sat down to talk about the 10th anniversary, Lords of War, and a poor choice in words in the show entitled The Dispersing Mists, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. Ian Bergen returns to WoW podcasting after a two-month hiatus on episode 70 of A Paladin's Tale. How has a summer of stale content affected Ian's views of the game, and how have his opinions on Garrisons changed? Find out the answers to these questions and more at www.apaladinstale.com, and be sure to follow at A Paladin's Tale on Twitter for more updates. Another show returning from a several-month hiatus is A Late Night with Steed, and episode 22 was posted just a few days ago at lnws.net. On this latest episode, Steed goes solo as the show changes formats, but keeps bringing gold-making discussion to your ears. In particular, you'll hear the start of a series of profession previews, starting from the ground up with the gathering professions, mining, herbalism, and skinning, so you can be prepared for how the coming changes will affect the resource materials for all of the crafting professions. Keep up with Steed by following him on Twitter at SteedUS, spelled S-T-E-V-E-U-S. Fortune Cookies Say. A podcastee wondering what I'm about to talk about could definitely spare a guess. Get it? Asparagus? Asparagus, you know? See, it's funny because... Anyway, the Convert to Raid co-host and the intro voice of this show just started up his own Twitch channel. Now, I'm not entirely sure if Coltrane will have a set schedule, so if you're interested in catching it, my best advice would be to follow Coltrane on twitch.tv/ColtraneTV. Of course, you can catch Coltrane, Pat Crane, and Darius as they tackle the latest in raiding news and more on Convert to Raid, which you can listen to on iTunes, Stitcher, and ConvertToRaid.com. It's a podcast full of organized chaos on episode 77 of Azeroth Roundtable, when Akizod, Aludra, Alakaz, and OMF join Ben and John for an in-depth detailed look at Warlords of Draenor. Yep, there's no derailing of the WoW topic train here. No, sir. Find out what OMF stands for and what raid chat for John and Ben's team sounds like by checking out the show at AzerothRoundtable.com. Nevik from the Shattered Soulstone podcast chats with host Dr. J. Dreadscythe on episode 7 of Scythe and Shield, which you can check out at grindexp.com. The two talk about BlizzCon, Diablo 3 patch 2.1, and why neither of them seems to be playing their wizard much lately. For updates on this and other projects, be sure to follow at grindexp on Twitter. If you happen to be a part of the Elea Eocta S Guild on Earthen Ring, you'll definitely want to listen to the last week's episode of the AIE podcast. Aludra, Makala, and Tetsemi are joined by guest Ralph to talk about the upcoming craft fair, the BlizzCon Guild Hall, and how you can help. Listen to episode 207 at theaiepodcast.com. And finally, Caro and Hava talk about Trade Skill Master and changes coming for the Your WoW Money podcast on episode 89. The show will be taking a brief hiatus for a couple weeks or so as Caro handles some real-life shenanigans, so be sure to follow at Your WoW Money on Twitter to find out when they return. You can listen to the latest podcast at yourwowmoney.com. All right, let's talk about some shameless promotional items, huh? In all seriousness, though, I know several of you have been waiting for Realm Maintenance t-shirts to go on sale again, and that time's finally here. Realm Maintenance is once again partnering with Epic Gear to bring you a 3-week sale for a new Realm Maintenance t-shirt. You can buy any size shirt up to extra large for $24, and larger sizes cost just a couple dollars more. This year, you're also going to have the option to have your shirt personalized by including a name on the sleeve for an additional $4. Now, it can be your name, your character's name, your guild's name, whatever you want. Free shipping comes with the shirt as long as you live in the United States, but if you'd like to place an international order, go ahead and email realmpodcast@gmail.com and I'll get you the info on whatever additional shipping charges that may apply. Once again, the sale ends on Wednesday, October 8th, and shirts will be shipped not too long after that. Now, the profits from this sale are going to go into my bank account where I'm going to spend it on fancy dinners. No, I'm kidding. The profits from the sale will go toward the purchase of items that I'm going to be giving away both at BlizzCon and on the Warlords of Draenor launch special. So, the more shirts I sell, the more stuff I'll have to give away. But speaking of giveaways, if you'd like a Realm Maintenance t-shirt with your name on it, you could win one this week. To enter, all you need to do is follow at Realm Podcast on Twitter and tweet at Realm Podcast with the name of a show you'd like to see featured on an upcoming episode. As always with these contests, I want to make sure that you include hashtag podcastee in your tweet. That's PODCASTEE. Entries must be sent in by Sunday, September 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'll announce the winner on next week's show, which will be drawn at random, of course. So, good luck! And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and play a small, sad violin for Miracle Rogues. Who am I kidding? I hated rogues in WoW PvP, and I never cared to play against them much in Hearthstone either. So, as far as I'm concerned, this is really what I'm hearing in my head right now. I'd like to thank everyone who helped out on the World of Podcasts Kickstarter. The crowdfunding campaign hit the $3,000 stretch goal and then some, and any money raised between now and the end of the campaign in a few days on September 21st will go toward additional items to give away at the big event. For updates, be sure to follow at World of Podcasts on Twitter. I do know that some point this week, if it hasn't been made already, there will be an announcement about who the MCs for the show will be, so keep an eye out for that. There were no reviews on iTunes or Stitcher this week, but what about you? What do you think of the show? Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and whether it's 4-star, 5-star, or otherwise, I'll give you a shout-out. If you'd like to learn more about all of the WoW, Hearthstone, Diablo, and Heroes of the Storm podcasts out there, check out the podcast directory found at realm-maintenance.com. Realm-maintenance.com is also home of the weekly podcast roundup, and if you subscribe to the RSS feed there, you'll get a list of all the WoW and other Blizzard game podcasts that have come out in the past week every Sunday. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @RealmPodcast or follow myself at RoWow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, I'll talk to Tarkonis, Turwinkle, and Lirinel about a podcast that is sure to help you if you're looking for roleplay. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2014. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Jake and Sham for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.